Raising Playful Tots, show number 117. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. There's plenty of room here, so come join us as we play with squirter bottles to make art. And this is based on irresistible ideas for play-based learning. And that's at playbasedlearning.com.au. Last week's show, I talked about resources that will take your play from good to great. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm talking to Kathy Stowell about the place of rhythm and ritual in our homes in raising a playful tot. While you listen, check out her site at blissbeyondnaptime.com. I hope you'll stick around. Thanks. I'll be right back after this break.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Kathy Stowell, Certified Kaizen Muse Creativity Coach and Simplicity Parenting Leader. Kathy blogs from a hobby farm in the Kootenay Mountains of British Columbia. Inspired by the peace and tranquility of her surroundings, she offers resources to help mamas cut through the noise and pressure of our fast-paced, consumer-focused society to help invite back what matters most. Through e-courses, workshops, mentoring, and e-books, Kathy offers strategies and the small steps to move away from excess and towards nourishing rhythms and rituals to promote a slowed-down childhood, mama self-care, and living according to one's consciously chosen values. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Oh, thank you so much, Melitza. So happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you on because I want to talk first about politeness in the family. You know, the back and forth answers we share with each other. So mum says, you know, as a mum, you would call your child and they would respond, yes, mum, or what, or, you know, you're giving a child something and you go, here you go, and they say, thanks a lot, and you say, you're welcome. You know, all of these interactions that you actually have, how you call your children, you know, do you yell at them or do you call them in a sweet tone? I mean, I know obviously you can't do that all the time, but what about levels of politeness in your family?
Okay, so it's so funny calling out names because my husband's name is Craig, and because we live in a farm, I often have to call him, and he's like, you know, way across the garden. And I learned that it's hard to shout out Craig in a really sweet tone. So sometimes it's like, Craig!
Yeah.
I learned to divide it into two syllables, help. So just a little Craig.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So divide single syllables into two helps. But I don't know if it's the Canadian in me, but I do notice I personally say please and thank you a lot, just naturally. But lately I've just consciously chosen to actually add this as a dynamic in, you know, part of our family interaction and as part of our family rhythm. And funny enough, I wrote a blog post on my blog called The Simple Importance of Please and Thank You. Because right now, though, you know, I do gently insist on the please, and that seems to nudge forth that thank you response. And if it doesn't, you know, I have to admit I'd say the old what do we say. But I find comfort in having this particular ritual in my home, because I was actually initially inspired by reading Kim John Payne's book on simplicity parenting. And he states in the book, in the rhythm section, actually, how politeness is one of the simplest ways to establish a base beat of predictability in the home. And I'm actually quoting there. So it was so nice to read that, because instinctively I felt that, you know, I need to be teaching our children that in this oasis I'm trying to create here, you come here and you will be treated with respect, and politeness is a form. And adding that predictability factor, it offers that seed of anticipation to be born. And, you know, half the fun for kids is that I'm observing is anticipation, is half the fun of events, and especially in the big events of life, like those that you find around the holidays.
Exactly, because I was thinking about our family and what we've been doing, and we've been doing a lot of see you later, and I just say see you later, and they always go alligator, and then somebody else goes in a while crocodile, and then we start going with that. And I saw an interesting pin, I'll have to find it on Pinterest, where somebody had written down many more variations of that, you know, back and forth that you can do. I was thinking, oh, the kids would absolutely love that, because it really sets the tone of your home. You know, you can't be mad and upset with each other when you're saying, see you later, alligator, in a while, crocodile. I mean, you just can't say that in a gruff kind of mad way.
It's like the first joke they learn. You know, I remember my son saying, in a while, crocodile, and he would laugh, and he was so little, barely can talk. You're right. It's showing like humor and that respect is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also kind of lifts you, because, you know, we're all stressed sometimes, and sometimes we're just downright fed up with the way things are right now. But if you can lighten the mood by having this back and forth of politeness, you know, the conversation between the two of you can just change the dynamic from you both being so frustrated.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
So what are some of the rhythms and rituals in your family life? Things that you do regularly or specific times during the year?
Okay. Well, we've always been a very home-centered family, just because, you know, we're living in a homestead and we were homeschooling for a few years. So it's pretty easy to implement some of the basic rhythms, such as, you know, this is the time we wake up, and I have to go milk the cow, and then we're going to have breakfast, and this and this and this. But the types, other rituals we have in terms of weekly, for instance, we've had forever is, you know, we would always go out for dinner at the local restaurant on Friday nights, and then Sunday mornings we would have pancakes without fail. It's funny, all the rituals revolve around food for me. But
that's good. Food's always good.
But another thing I've done is, and this was really inspired by the Waldorf curriculum I followed. We did kindergarten for a couple of years, and then grade one last year with my daughter, is each day would be assigned a task, like a homemaking task. So Monday would be vacuum day, and Tuesday clean the bathroom, and Wednesday folding laundry. So even as when my daughter was little, we didn't know the days of the week, but she would always say, when's grandma coming? And then I would say, two more, you know, we call it smoky Sundays. We make pancakes and the whole house gets really smoky, or, you know, next vacuum day. So, really ingrained to the rhythm of the week when having a powerful, a reminder of what happens on that day. And other than that, we just keep things pretty seasonal around here in terms of rituals. So in the summer, typically around 4 o'clock, we drop everything and head to the beach. Or in the winter, you know, we always have our all year long, we have our morning outside time in the morning where we walk to the mailbox in time to get the mail. So that would incorporate some kind of outdoor chore or seasonal play, like snowman building. So yeah, I try to keep it seasonal with the rhythms, and yeah, the children really seem to resonate with that.
Do you do anything special during the holiday seasons?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. What we do in our home, well, it's funny because I have all our birthdays are one after the other. I have two November children, and I kind of joke it's because Valentine's Day is 9 months prior.
Yes.
My daughter's birthday is in mid-November. My son was actually due on her birthday, but luckily he was a week overdue. And then it's my husband's birthday 2 weeks after that. And then it's sweet baby Jesus's birthday. And then it's Christmas is my birthday. So anyway, we really kind of save up our celebrating for those 3 months. Yeah, we're just pretty mindful to celebrate the birthdays, very carefully just planning it so as not to overwhelm the children, but still, let all their little birthday dreams come true. And then come December 1st, we begin the lead up to Christmas. And how we celebrate Christmas in our home is we begin with a lovely Advent calendar. And we set up a Advent wreath right underneath it, just with some boughs of trees and some candles. And each week leading up to Advent, we light a candle. And every day we open up one of the doors. And this makes my husband's eyes roll, but I play the recorder. I play Silent Night. My husband's funny with this. Anyways, and we sing Silent Night as we just look at the Advent wreath. And each week there's an assigned like, for instance, the first week of Advent, we each pick a rock to place in the Advent. It's just, that's our lead up mm-hmm. to the holiday. And we just try to keep the holiday celebrations pretty low key, stay close to home, but do try to participate in some community festivals, but just keeping them just kind of low in numbers, and usually go to a friend's house, but the actual Christmas Day we stay here in our house.
Is there anything that you do specifically to make sure that your holiday season is how you want it? I know that we feel the pressure to go to office parties, things that are happening at school, there's all sorts of things going on, and sometimes I feel as if I want to be able to say no to certain things, and I have to safeguard the family and decide, we've been running around all week. We have to say, this day, we're going to just spend time together and actually, cordon it off and say, no, nothing can get in this section. Is there anything special like that that you have to do because you have a full-on holiday season?
Yeah. Yes, I think it's really important as mothers and, as fathers as well, just to be practicing and also modeling to our children the setting of and implementing, healthy boundaries. So what helps me is actually, well, it helps if you need to see it visually, like getting it down on paper. So as much as you can, get the calendar up and just see what is coming up. And then just ensuring that there are some pauses in between obligations and just really looking to make sure that there's a balance between very active times and kind of sandwiching some, I like to refer to them as like pajama party times where we just lay low, maybe rent a family friendly movie, make hot cocoa, popcorn, just laying low, like a big pajama party. The e-courses that I offer too is we do a lot of meditation and review of what our values are and through some creative exercise. And then really using those as a touchstone on checking in to see that indeed what is manifesting here is in alignment with your values. And then just using that as a touchstone and just really offering that space for your children just to enjoy, again, like just the anticipation, but also safeguarding almost physically too, that they don't get overrun and like overloaded with, too much sugar and their immune systems just being susceptible, but also just allowing that beautiful in-breath and out-breath flow of activity. I love that metaphor. Yeah, it reminds me of, and that's what I keep in mind too, speaking of writing things down, this kind of came about more when I started homeschooling, just prompted by, the suggested, flow of the days. If you look back on some of my homeschooling journals, so many times I would write out, you know, today, you know, we're going to begin the day with, you know, a verse. I'm going to go out for a walk. We're going to come back in and have lunch. Da, 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 da. Yeah, to look at that, you would think I was a very uptight person, but it's not like I perfectly adhered to the rhythm, but it did offer at least that intention. So I just keep that in mind when I feel that, wow, it's been a while since we just, you know, laid. Just use that as a reminder of, and observing too, what works. And what works for our family is ensuring that we're not overwhelmed with too much activity and too much out-breath activity.
You mentioned pause earlier, and I noticed that you didn't say pause the children and that they can veg out and we can still be going crazy in the kitchen, around the house, doing all the other things that we need to get done, ordering presents online. But you suggested that we both pause, the whole family pauses together. Could you explain that a little bit better about how the pause works as a part of a rhythm?
And the funny thing is, it doesn't have to be the hugest pause. What I found works for me is just to simply sit on the couch. And my kids don't see me sitting on the couch much. So the minute they see me there, all of a sudden it's a couch party. I will say, you know, go pick a book and I'll read you a book. And we'll read a book together. You know, got a kid on each side of me. And then after the book, we just end up sitting and talking and kind of, you know, goofing around. And then I feel I am recharged up just even from that short amount of time. And I don't know, I almost feel ever since I became a mother, and I've said this before and people kind of look at me strangely sometimes, that I can kind of pick up on how my kids are feeling, because I feel like I feel the same way that they do. For instance, like coming down with something, I kind of feel like I'm feeling like my body's fighting something off too. But I can almost feel that even just 10 minutes on the couch, that their energy goes down to a level that almost re-energizes them. And I feel that energy pick up too. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go start making supper now. And it's not a big frantic, like, oh my God, I got to make supper now. But I feel called to, and I feel energized by that prospect. And I could see that my kids are settled into a good place too, and they either stay on the couch or they do what kind of they're naturally feeling impulse to do, whether that be quiet play or, you know, one of them will be like, I have an idea, let's play that. And I could tell that their nerves have settled enough, because it's amazing. Typically it is a very cooperative scene.
Right. Yes. And you mentioned also about writing down, and I like that idea, because if we don't write things down, then everything kind of impacts our day. Things keep coming, and my husband and I always talk about fires, that you feel like you're putting out fires all day because everybody's trying to get some of your attention, whether that's children or work or other things that need to be done around the house. And certainly around the holiday time, that can be amplified and ramped up. But if you've got things written down, you can kind of say, well, sorry, just can't do that today, because you already know that you've got that time set aside for something else. So you can't just squeeze something else in. So I like the idea of you saying that you should have some sort of timetable, not that you are stuck with it, but that you have something that you are consciously following.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, that seems the right way to go. So what types of things do you do to keep the life going? We've mentioned pausing and writing down things to keep life going during this really busy time. Is there anything else that you've got for us there?
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate of mama self-care. So it's important to do whatever you can to make sure you as a mother are getting plenty of sleep, drinking lots of water, getting some kind of exercise. And this is, it's, you know, incorporating your children too if you need to. Like if they're pretty small, when my kids were a bit smaller, I was able to, you know, it's lots of snow out here at this time of year. So I would like strap on a toboggan and, you know, charge up the mountain, like Rocky style. So just being outside.
Yeah.
And one little tidbit I can offer is to slip in some form of meditation, just to kind of keep in check with, you know, how you're doing internally. And one little trick I've been playing, even lately, though my kids are a bit older, I would put the timer on the oven on for 10 minutes. And I'll say, I just got to lie down for 10 minutes. And when the oven beeps, you know, can come get me. And I would just put on the timer and then just lie in my bed. And that's kind of my meditation time these days, is just I stare at the ceiling. I allow to see what kind of thoughts come up and kind of just release them. Because, and again, my kids are drawn to me. And eventually when the timer beeps, if they have not done so already, they will meet me on top of my bed. And then it turns into another pause for them. And I like to think too, I'm modeling that to them, that, you know, to listen to your body and, yeah, just take care of yourself on all those levels.
That sounds really glorious. I'd love to be able to do that. I have a few getting to know you questions that I ask on the show. So what are two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
One has definitely been deciding to go ahead with creativity coaching training through Kaizen Muse. Because I found that it's helped me with tools to use just on myself to, well, the whole premise of the coaching that I took, the training was for implementing small steps towards manifesting your vision and your goals. So this has been really complimentary for my teaching of simplicity parenting principles and just simplicity in general. So I've been just so pleased, and I've been able to offer these tools as well on my website. If you sign up for my newsletter, I offer like 10 days of these creativity tools, and just the feedback on that has been really helping a lot of mamas. So I've been really happy with the positive outcomes from that action. And the second one, this is kind of out there, but it took me like a year of going back and forth, but I decided to, and I went with getting a puppy, and I am so happy I did. Because we tried having a puppy a few years earlier when my son was just a baby, and it didn't work out very well, but it was a happy ending, but I won't get into it now. But so I was really nervous of like, oh my God, this is just going to complicate things. I'm supposed to be simplifying here, but he's really added such a beautiful flavor to our household life, and I'm so happy we decided to go for it. He's been really dreamy.
Oh, perfect. That's really good. So what were you doing 12 years ago in the year 2000?
Oh my gosh. The year 2000 is the year I met my husband. So that was pretty awesome. And when he met me, you wouldn't believe it, but I was actually a corporate suit. I was working in advertising, and I would go to work every day wearing pantyhose and these really high heels. And my mom's a seamstress, so she made me a lot of suits with like mini skirts.
Oh yeah, big shirts, yeah.
You know, Melrose Place. So I was working in a corporate setting. Very, very much the opposite of me. I'm still wearing my milking clothes right now. But I was in the corporate scene 12 years ago. But I met my husband, and together we just kept coming up with these crazy ideas. And from there I started teaching yoga full time, quit my day job, and started selling handmade soap, hemp soap. And I sold that business, and now we are here. And, pretty blissed out here.
Wow, that's an amazing discovery to have gone from corporation life all the way to homestead in the mountains. That's a wild adventure, that one. Very nice, very nice. So what's your favorite play activity in your household at the moment?
Oh, at the moment? It's pretty funny because my kids are really good with unstructured plays. So at the moment, we are brainstorming on Christmas gift ideas. So my daughter has been pretty busy. We're pretty industrious when it comes to our play. But when you kind of gave me a heads up on this question, and I was meditating on this. As a family, our favorite play activity that we haven't done in a while, but you have inspired me that we need to have a family meeting about this, is we pick a song. Okay, this is kind of, my husband's going to not be pleased with me revealing this.
We won't tell him.
Okay, well, yeah. All right. As a family, we make a little choreographed dance routine to that song.
Oh, cool.
So fun. Yeah, so it takes a lot of rehearsals, but yeah, it's you know, we're going to do it again. We haven't done it in a while, so thank you for reminding me of my favorite play activity.
Yay, that sounds like a lot of fun to be able to do that together as a family. How old are your children?
My daughter is almost 8 and my son is almost 4.
Okay, cool. So they'll be busting out the moves doing those play activities. That's cool. Very nice. Today I've been talking to Kathy Stowell, coach and Simplicity Parenting Leader, about rhythms. If you've enjoyed this show, pop on over to her blog at blissbeyondnaptime.com. She's also offering the rhythm module of her Simplicity Parenting virtual workshop series in mid-January 2013. You can register for this and learn more about Kathy over at blissbeyondnaptime. That's blissbeyondnaptime.com. Thanks for sharing on the show today, Kathy.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Melissa.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Geraldine Bywater McLaughlin from Empowered by Play, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. Really enjoyed the interview with Kathy, especially her personal take on things. Always gives me a fresh perspective on what's going on in my home and ideas on how to change and adapt. This week we had an unexpected break from being online. It also coincided with the usual half term off for the boys. They had a using just what was around them and how creative they could actually be. The break was really good for us. It gave us a chance to kind of unplug and really slow down and do things differently because we had to use what we just had around us. I would really encourage you, if you have the opportunity to do this for a little length of time. I found that it was really interesting that when we stopped and we weren't at our own home and we were doing something completely different and we were somewhere else, how things just seem really different. And we got to really spend time together and do stuff together that we probably wouldn't have done in quite the same way if we planned it at home. This month of November, I'm working on more creativity with the Mama Scout e-course, and I'm really enjoying it. I had the winner announced on the show notes in Raising Playful Tots, show number 116. So if you go to the show notes there, you'll see who the winner is if you're interested. I know many of you are working on Christmas lists and presents for families. It can be a really tough time of year, especially if your present buying tastes are different to your families. So I would encourage you to go and check out Truce, Your First Stop to Choosing Toys, which was Raising Playful Tots episode number 75. So if you go to raisingplayfultots.com/75, you'll get there. Because what if there was a resource that helped you with your holiday gift buying that focused on play and not on marketing? And it was written by early childhood educators and parents. And the last thing, it's free. Well, that would be the show that you need to be listening to. That's raisingplayfultots.com/17. It's all about truce, and you'll find out what truce means and a great way to be able to choose toys there. So that's about it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. If you've loved the show and you've found value in it, would you do me a favor and go over to iTunes and give us a review? And if you really love what you've heard, could you give us a 5-star rating and a review? Thanks for the new reviews that I've seen up there today and ratings this week. It's really appreciated. If you'd like to comment on this show about rhythms and rituals, you can do so by going to the show notes. If you go to raisingplayfultots.com/117, you can go there and scroll down to the bottom to the comment section and leave a comment there or a question. If you've got a question that you want answering or something you'd like to talk about, you can leave a comment there too. If you remember our 3 for 3, that's an opportunity for you to leave 3 of your last blogs that you have read that are about parenting or about play. You can use the feedback button on the side there, which is raisingplayfultots.com/feedback, or you can use the button on the sidebar if you go to the website, and you can leave a voicemail message. Voicemail messages are free. You can leave comments there about the show, questions that you have about play and raising a playful tot, or you can leave your last 3 vlogs that you've read featuring play 3 for 3. Whatever you decide to do, I'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 117. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.